to start at least with some scripture. I don't want to just get right into my presentation and ignore this opportunity to praise God through his word. Psalm chapter 9, I'm just going to read verses 1 and 2. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise in thy name, O thou most high. Now, you will forgive a missionary if he comes and in presenting his ministry, he uses those pronouns, I, we. That's the only way that we can tell you what it is that we're doing. That's the ministry that God has given to us. But notice David's special emphasis here. He says, I will praise thee, O Lord. So God is the focus of what he is going to say. With my whole heart, I will show forth all thy marvelous works. Again, focus on God. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. So in a missionary presentation, somehow we should be able to show you what we're doing and give God the glory for it all. So I trust that you will come away from today with some reasons, some further reasons to praise God. Well, we do need to move ahead because I have two different things I'm wanting to present to you this morning in this 45-minute session. My wife is not with me. She normally travels with me whenever we're driving, within driving distance. But obviously from Michigan out here I flew, and the airlines have not bought into this BOGO deal thing. So you have to buy two tickets if two of you are going to fly. And so typically when I have flown overseas, this is my first time actually to travel in the United States by plane to go speak someplace. She doesn't normally travel with me then. She holds down things at home. I'm always at my best when she's with me, so I'm sorry for you today. Doesn't bode well for the day, does it? Just to introduce you to several of the books we've written, I could only carry a few in my suitcase, and they're all gone already. Between the church last Sunday in Seattle and here, we have sold all of the ones that I carried. But Elephant Trunk Steaks and Other Adventure Stories, these are true stories from a lifetime of worldwide adventure. This is book one. Book two, continuing that series of true stories of a lifetime spent wholeheartedly in service to the Lord. We have lived more than our fair share of adventure. Termite Meatloaf and Other Adventure Stories. Caterpillar Soup and Other Adventure Stories, book three. And the only thing I do have left with me is book one, which has been recorded professionally as an audiobook. And my wife and I had the privilege of recording our own stories and putting into those stories all of the drama and all of the emotion that we have felt through the years. So I have audiobook one. I am showed one sample on the table outside the door, along with a sample of the material we taught these last few days here. And there is also there a stack of prayer cards. Anybody who wants to pick those up with current contact information. And there is a sheet of paper where you're requested to give us your name and email address if you would like to receive our monthly email pep talk report. Now, if you don't do email, feel free instead to give us your mailing address, and we will include you for the few mail letters that we do send out every month as well. Now, these are available by ordering directly from us, or you can order them from Amazon, from Barnes & Noble. You could order through any bookstore just by giving the name or the title of the book. But the audiobook is available directly from us if you want it on a flash drive with all the audio files. You would have to download this, however, onto your device, and whatever the listening platform is on your device, you have to apply that. It has to go in somebody will have to show you how to do that. I can't even tell you how. On my computer, I have to put it, all the files, into a music library on my Microsoft Windows program, and then from there, make an album of it. And then if you click on album, now all the audio files will flow from chapter to chapter the way they do in a normal audiobook. But if you buy it on the flash drive from us, it's only separate files, and you have to apply it somehow on your device to make it flow. So just making you aware of all of that. All right. We've been 48 years now missionaries with Baptist Mid-Missions. First of all, Central African Republic, Zambia for one term to help open a new work there for Baptist Mid-Missions, and then Bibles International, the Bible Translation Division of Baptist Mid-Missions. God seems to, every once in a while, choose to challenge us with something brand new. And it's been quite a ride. This is part of what has made our life such an adventure. But more recently, starting in 2007, God challenged us through the invitation of Baptist Mid-Missions to open a new traveling teaching ministry for Baptist Mid-Missions. Since 2007, not only us, but now other missionary couples have joined us, and we travel worldwide to teach in pastors' conferences, leadership seminars for the churches, and in formal Bible training schools. So just to summarize for you, this involves short-term teaching trips overseas, conferences, seminars, class modules for national church leaders, and we are especially focused on encouraging and enriching, equipping national pastors to do more effectively what God has called them to do on site, in their villages, among their own people. So we praise the Lord for the opportunities he has given to us. Three facets of the PEP ministry: conferences and seminars for national pastors and church leaders. Now that's the less formal part of our teaching, because pastors and leaders will just come. There are no academic requirements, there's no tuition, there are no papers to write, there are no tests to take, no grades are given. They just come and learn all they can learn, and they take home a manual like an American Bible College syllabus, already translated into their language ahead of time. Now, the same courses are used to teach in formal Bible training schools, cooperating with the administrations of those schools, whether that involves missionaries or it has been turned over to the nationals by now. And there we do have to worry about giving assignments and homework and papers sometimes that have to be graded and tests. And then the grades have to be calculated, and we have to turn those in to the administration before we leave. Because these are the programs that are producing the either diplomas or degrees. And we teach the same courses, which are quite comprehensive, on whatever level we need to, and depending on how many hours they give us for the teaching. So some classes that we're given 40 hours for, we're given 14 hours for in some places. And so we have to move pretty quickly through them. But this yesterday was our first, this week has been our first opportunity ever to teach one of our PEP courses in the United States, at the invitation, of course, of your church. And frankly, since your pastor challenged us on this idea, we have started to envision how big this ministry could become in the United States. Our vision is growing as we have been challenged to think in a new direction. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to stop teaching overseas. Now, you'll hear some more things about how things are developing. We were also asked 5 years ago by Baptist Mid-Missions to take over the leadership of the BMM School of Church Planting. It's not a year-round school. It's 4 intense days of instruction and encouragement for people who are going into a church planting ministry full-time, even missionaries going overseas to plant churches. They come in to get some instruction from us first, and they go, there are several different Baptist mission agencies in our circles who are taking advantage now of our school since we have promoted this more, and other missions are now mandating their new church planting missionaries to come to our school. But we've made some creative changes and grown the program, even diversifying, not just to launch a new church, but now we have a whole new program every alternating year that is focused on revitalizing struggling churches. So we've made numerous changes as mandated by Baptist Mid-Missions to do. And now that we've made those changes, BMM has just appointed a new director of church planting. And from an administrative standpoint, he is now going to take over the future direction of the School of Church Planting. And I'm delighted because I didn't know what was going to happen to it when I end up having to retire in a couple of years. And I feel like we have put it in a good position for them now, and they're eager to take responsibility for it from here. PEP teachers may still be involved in some ways to help them manage that event every year. But we're also starting to teach the revitalization seminar in certain Bible colleges, starting with Faith Baptist Bible College and Seminary in Ankeny, Iowa. We go in, our people go in and teach a module class on revitalization for their pastoral studies students who are heading for graduation and eventually will be called out into probably one of those struggling churches. So we're really pleased about some of the new initiatives that are developing here for us. Now, God's blessing, I don't have time to talk about each of these, honestly. I'm just going to flash them up there. Personally now, 76 overseas teaching trips for me into, 5 continents. And thank the Lord for the opportunities, plus now 6 teaching trips in the United States for one thing or another. And that would include some virtual teaching for places where we could not go. During the COVID years especially. A great team of 4 couples, wonderful unity on the team. 7 official adjunct teachers now for us. Pastors who have been well recommended to us with a great deal of credibility with their academic degrees because of some settings that we go into where we're facing people who are very well educated. 12 potential teachers still on my list of adjunct potentials. And so I'm trying to get them through the pipeline here in these next couple of years. Numerous decisions based on whatever course is being taught. Adjustments in the life and ministry of the pastors and church leaders who are coming. And those adjustments they agree to make in their lives, they should translate into more effective ministry. God's provision for all trips. Now, 76 overseas teaching trips in these last 16 years, and every trip has been funded. I promised my home church when I started this ministry that if God is calling us to do this, then we're going to trust Him to provide. And if He doesn't provide, then it's not His will that we make that trip. We're not going to go into deficit in our church, in our mission account, in order to make these trips. And God has provided, I would estimate, $200,000 over and above our support to provide for our living expenses and our normal ministry expenses. We never had enough support to cover our travels. And God provided again and again and again, sometimes through major gifts. some gifts that covered the entirety of all of my trip costs for two or three trips, all with that one gift. And others, of course, the gifts of $25 and $50 that just kept accruing in our account until we had money there to pay for a trip. We never had to cancel a trip because the money wasn't there. That's God. And we started this ministry just at the time of that real slowdown, the economic downturn. And there were times that I just cried out to God. I said, if you called me to do this, then you're going to have to provide. But we've got no money toward that trip, and I'm going to have to buy that ticket in 2 weeks, as advised by the travel agent. Otherwise, all of those cheaper tickets were going to be gone. And then the next tier of tickets would kick in at a higher price. And God came through. But I've never had to trust God so particularly for his provision from week to week and from month to month as I've had to during this ministry. But God has provided. Repeat invitation. Some countries our team members are back into now, the fourth time, sixth time, eighth time. Our team is able to teach in six different languages, including English. All right, so only five others. And we offer a series of 12 courses. That's the series that we're talking about with Pastor. But honestly, there are a couple of our courses that he's already been teaching to you in the same kind of detail that we would be teaching it to you. So I'm suggesting to him that his courses can just count toward these 12. We're still talking through those details, but I'll be sending him a list of some other courses that the pastors here, they can choose which other ones to substitute for those, if you wish. So anyway, all of those things are in the hands of the sponsor church for this series of courses, and even the question of whether or not we will continue. That's in your pastor's hands. So we're delighted to do that overseas and here in the States now, perhaps. PEP teaches in 27 different countries. In a few of those countries, the circumstances have changed a bit, so they don't need our help anymore. We don't want them to be permanently dependent on us. So probably 20, 21 countries we're still teaching in today. And we're using our courses now in the U.S. for the first time in your church to train laymen. You know, any pastor would want to offer more serious training to his people. But they're already pretty busy trying to keep up with all the pastoral duties. And I see here your pastors are also very serious about trying to offer you something a little bit deeper. And you have various training opportunities just by coming to the services, and you're learning tons of stuff. Praise the Lord for that. Now, my trips in 2022 and 2023, Mexico in August of 2022. Do I need to point this in some direction? Okay. A virtual course for Mexico in September, India and then Turkey in October, Chad, Africa in January 2023. I'm 72 years old now. The mission is trying to get me to slow down a little bit so that I don't break down. And so it may be that that January trip to Chad will be my last overseas teaching trip. I come back exhausted from every trip. And so it may be that I'm going to shift my focus more and more, along with your missionary, John Mitchell, who will be officially retiring at the end of this year, but he wants to keep teaching almost as much as ever before, even after his retirement. And one of the things he wants to plug into are these U.S.-based teaching classes. He still wants to continue one trip a year in Brazil, one trip a year in Honduras, one trip a year in Peru. in addition to some teaching in the United States. So Mexico, again, a virtual class in February. And then USA, Washington, April. Can't remember where that was. Well, I have two positions with the mission. One is director of our team, so director of the PEP ministry, pastoral enrichment program, and as stewardship representative, it's that for which I will be speaking primarily here today. Now, to help you to understand that part-time situation, this really, by the way, has allowed me to slow down, because I'm not, even before, I wasn't traveling so much overseas as I used to. But now, especially, as I back away from the overseas trips, the trips in America are so much easier. People back home knew that I had a five-hour flight from Detroit to Seattle Saturday a week ago, and they said, oh, you're going to be so tired. I said, this is going to be a short trip. This is going to be a fun trip. And even my schedule during the week, it's been so light. Yesterday was the only hard day with teaching almost 7 hours. But I slept 9 hours on purpose last night, and I'm ready to go today. All right, so I continue to lead the PEP team. And I'm shifting focus now from overseas teaching trips to some new U.S.-based teaching initiatives. So I'm handing the administration of PEP over to others as of next summer. I'll continue for a couple more years after that, God willing, but working under somebody else's administration, because that's the burdensome thing that I find I'm really not enjoying anymore, and it's time to turn that over to somebody else. Now, for part-time donor relations for Baptist Admissions, I serve as a BMM representative. I'm going on 3.5 years now. And I speak in churches on behalf of the mission. And when I'm in any part of the country, then I try to arrange some donor visits, those individuals who give to Baptist Admissions directly. By the way, I always encourage people to give your tithe through your local church. And if God leads you to give something above your tithe, that's between you and God. But the church is God's primary instrument for serving, for accomplishing his purposes in the world today. And I believe in supporting the work of the local church through your tithe. And then those thank you visits to people. Now, I don't know, I'm still hoping to arrange several visits with individuals tomorrow during the day or tomorrow evening, if you couldn't do it tomorrow during the day because of work. And I would arrange that with you ahead of time if there is somebody in here in that category. So you may or may not hear from me on this trip. And the reason is I've been kept busy up through today, and I'll fit in what I can tomorrow, and then first thing in the morning on Tuesday, I fly back home again. So forgive me if I don't get around to some donors who are in our midst. I hope I'll catch a couple of you. All right. We're moving ahead into something else. Oh, I don't need to repeat this. Here we go. What to think about a mission agency? We only have 10, maximum 15 minutes here. So please follow me. Let's just admit it. It's tough to find a biblical basis in the scripture. You can't find a verse that will mention a mission agency. There is no such agency to be found in the Bible. So does that mean it's wrong, it's bad to have a mission agency? I say no. You follow me. The local church is clearly God's primary agency for advancing his work in the New Testament era. So how do we justify the existence of a mission agency? We find our biblical basis in the same Great Commission that you would point to. Now, you know that the Great Commission was given to individual disciples. I mean, it's all of our task. Now, the establishment of the New Testament church and the emphasis of the New Testament on the local church makes it very clear to us that the local church is that primary agency. But we use those same verses which challenge us to go out. That's all of our mission. And if we can perform services that help the local church, and if the local church chooses to use those services, then we're helping the church to accomplish their purpose. So follow my thinking here. God permits us to make decisions that will advance his work in the world and that will help his work to function as it should and function smoothly, as long as we do not contradict his word. Now, I made this point in our class the last few days at some point along. So the fact is, we do a lot of things. We made a lot of decisions for the local church that you don't find in the New Testament. You won't even find an instance where you will read in the New Testament that a local church has built a building for themselves. Now, Old Testament, yes, you see the synagogue. But they were always meeting in homes or out in the open. Now, undoubtedly, over time, they established buildings. But you can't find a biblical basis for that, perhaps. Or at least, you would have to make an assumption based on an example of something you saw in the Old Testament. Well, likewise, you have no evidence in the New Testament that there were indoor bathrooms in churches or that they had electricity. But we choose to do those things. It helps the smooth functioning of a body of people who come together like this. The mandated officers for a New Testament church are pastors and deacons. Elders, also meaning pastors. But is it wrong for us to appoint a church secretary? To hire a church janitor if the church is large enough and they need to do that? To start a Christian school in the church, based in the local church? Those are all decisions to help advance the work of the Lord. And so, if a church chooses to use the services of a mission agency, then it is simply a support for the church. All right, let me go quickly now. The mission agency is respected as a valuable tool or service or support ministry available to the local church. Nobody forces you to take advantage of that. If you can handle all the details associated with sending and maintaining missionaries on the field, by yourself as a church, good for you. And I say honestly, may God bless you in that. But many churches have realized this is more than we can handle on our own. And the mission agency has all kinds of experience and expertise that they apply to certain aspects of the work. And I'll list a few of those for you here. Many churches choose to take advantage of the expert help and services provided by mission agencies. And I happen to know that your church is also doing that. Summary information about BMM. We're a Baptist mission agency that is independent of control from an association or from a convention. There's nobody above the local church that you should listen to that tries to dictate to you what you should do as a local church. And the Baptist Mission Agency, likewise, it's best that we're not directly connected with a particular association. We have an independent board, made mostly, by the way, of Baptist church pastors. And conservative in our doctrine and in our practice. And strategic in our thinking and planning for the future. Began in 1920, so we've passed our centennial year. We're in our 103rd year right now. We have about 525 currently active missionaries. That includes the husband, the wife, singles. Plus, if you add all of the new appointees who are getting ready to go to the field, plus all the short-termers who go every year, from whom, by the way, we get a lot of our new missionary candidates, and if we add all of our emeritus missionaries who still have to remain connected to us in some way because of certain services that we can continue to offer them, then the total comes up to about 825 people. And we're serving in about 55 countries of the world. We're focused on four primary ministries: evangelism, discipleship, church planting, which consolidates them into groups that nurture and encourage each other and serve together to do the outreach, and leadership training for those churches. And we have missionaries who are known for their sacrifice, their strong work ethic, and their creative initiatives. Oh my goodness, if you could hear about all the creative things our missionaries overseas did during COVID to continue to reach out. Some amazing stories came out of those 2 years. And our mission has had a long time reputation for financial integrity and wise stewardship that has kept our mission from failing as some other missions have failed. Every year we have an outside independent audit, and every year we pass that audit with flying colors because everything is in place and everything is being done exactly as it needs to be done. The practical structure of BMM, a structured governance that is solid, proven, and functional. Just let me describe it. First of all, we have the board. We call it the General Council. It's a group of about 40 individuals. Most of them, probably 85% at least, are pastors of local churches, local Baptist churches. And then we have a few people with special other expertise who are faithful in their Baptist churches and have been recommended to us. Those who are accountants, for example, and they can serve on the finance committee to oversee what the mission is doing, give direction. We have some medical people, and they're watching out for our missionaries worldwide. And we have at least one who is a biblical counselor. And so we can call on that person to help us or to give some guidance about how to handle certain kinds of problems. So God has given us a diverse but very focused general counsel. And they serve with wisdom. We have great confidence in them. Secondly, we have the administrators, those that oversee certain parts of the mission, including all of our field administrators. They're the ones who apply the policies that the board has set in place. So there's no conflict of interest. It isn't the administrators who make the policy. They only apply the policy. And they're the ones who are managing the daily operations of the mission under the overall guidance of the board. And then we have staff of all kinds, administrative assistants, graphics designers for all of the publications, IT people, janitor, I don't know, the list just goes on and on. And those are people who are hired, but they're doing this because they're passionate about Baptist missions. And they want to do their part in their way to help this work keep going. They handle a variety of valuable services, and I finish with a list of those services. And I won't be able to spend time on these because our time is gone. Numerous services available to local churches if you choose to take advantage of the mission agency. Help in recruiting and screening our missionary candidates. Help in counseling appointees for effective pre-field ministries, for raising their support so that they can finally get to the field. So they're counseled about how to do that. Help in preparing new missionaries for what they will face on the field. All of a sudden, they're leaving home behind and they're gone. How should they approach the beginning days there on the field? And then help with dealing with certain realities on the field, the political issues and the cultural issues that they will face. Help in channeling the church's financial support to their missionaries around the world. Some countries, it is difficult to get money in. And we have to find sometimes creative ways to get that money to them in legal ways, but not just the normal channels that we would use in other places. Help in guiding their missionaries toward effective and fulfilling ministry. Help in offering their missionaries various services essential to life and ministry on the field. Help in dealing with personal and national crises. Sometimes even having to find ways to evacuate a missionary in order to keep him safe. Help in constant evaluation of the missionary's strategy and their methodologies. So our administrators will sit down with the teams on the field to think through, what are you doing now and how are you doing it? How could you improve the effectiveness of your ministry? Help in providing for them a BMM team that is united in doctrine. You know, that takes a ton of tension away from your missionaries' work. When they know they're on the same page with the others that they're working with. The other guy has planted a church, but it's still struggling. He goes on furlough, and you're assigned to go and fill in for him. Well, he has been teaching some things that you don't believe. So what are you going to do? You're going to turn the church upside down? Are you going to cause confusion and division? What are you going to do? I am so happy to be part of a Baptist mission agency myself. Excuse me. And then finally, help in providing for them a mission environment where they're loved and where they're seen as family. That makes a ton of difference in our spirit, our attitudes toward things that we face on the field. All right, I'm going to stop right there, and thank you very much, Pastor. God bless you. I'm looking forward to the rest of the day with you.
There we go. It's been great having you here. I'm looking forward to the rest of the day. That's just some insight on how a mission agency works, what they do. You know, we have a lot of relationship with the missionaries themselves. They come in, they tell us about them, we get to know them, we support them, we have their letters back and forth, we get to communicate, but the mission agencies are behind the scenes, and that's some of the work that gets done to make sure all that stuff works together. Let's go ahead and stand up. We'll have a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed, take a quick stretch break, and come back for the morning service. Heavenly Father God, thank you so much for this morning. Lord, for your goodness and your grace. God, for your mercy and your love. For your continued desire, dear God, that we would be like your Son. Through your Holy Spirit, through the preaching of your word, through the fellowship with one another, dear God, I pray you just continue to challenge us to represent Christ to each other and to the world. In his name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you. See you back here in a few minutes.
Say that that all of our written books are gone. You could order those through me.